You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. Well, I had a moment today, so I guess we could get to it. You know, when you're doing this thing and you start thinking it about it, when you start thinking it, I'm not even going to use the word about. I don't have time for that shit. This is too important. When you do these things, you know, sometimes you just kind of like turn the shit on and turn the brain off and see what happens. And then sometimes you think about it and you're like, what am I going to talk about? And like, how do I want to talk about it? Sometimes you even go so far as to think of structuring it in some specific way, which is what happened today. Because basically, I had a potential epiphany today, but I can't decide if it's better to start with that or to start with what happened and then, you know, take you through it the way I went through it, or is it better to, like, start with the end and then go to the beginning? Which people kind of seem to refer to as Tarantino-ing it. Except I don't really like that because I'm like, well, I think that's talking about Pulp Fiction, right? Which is, I'm pretty sure, the only movie where he did that. Maybe he did that in Reservoir Dogs? I don't know. But also, he didn't necessarily like start at the end and then go back around in linear fashion, right? Like, that one was all fucked up, time-wise, if I remember correctly. Also, he didn't start at the end and then go to the beginning to the end. He, like, started a scene, then the movie starts, then they come back to that scene later, but then there's still more after. It's confusing. Point being, I don't know what the point of that was. That was just a little rant about, it's like when people, I just did what I don't like, which is, you know, do we all know what Tarantino-ing means? Yes. So why fight it? Why fight it and be like, that doesn't seem accurate? Because also, it's not like a terribly insulting thing, right? Although it does seem like a technique. I know that when you're writing a story, for example, it's a common technique to be like, start in the middle of the action, get them hooked, and then go to, you know, exposition later or whatever. But it kind of begs the question in my mind of, maybe just skip the exposition. Be like, well, okay, you got to do this boring stuff, so do this exciting stuff first. And then I'm like, well, maybe just don't have boring stuff in your story. I don't know. Call me crazy. Call me maybe. Anyway, that's the problem. And then this is why I think it's better to just turn on the mic and turn off the brain, because I overthink it, which is to say, thinking about it at all. But such is life. Oh, my God, wearing a headset mic, and I just adjusted it to be super painful. Anyway. Okay, I'm going to talk about what I did and then talk about the epiphany. So, I went on a bus tour of the area. I don't really know why. You know, I think we all have these things at work where there's a certain amount of stuff you do because it's kind of at your direction, right? Like, you're like, okay, I have to do this job, but this is the way I'm doing it, or like, this is my way of accomplishing my job duties. And so when you're doing that sort of stuff, you're like, I think it's pretty clear why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Like, what purpose it serves and whatever. Then there's stuff that you're sort of like, this doesn't really serve my purpose, but I understand a job comes with a certain amount of, like, why am I doing this? Because my boss said so, right? There are certain things that I do in my job that are also, like, because someone told me to. And it's just, like, there's not really a great reason to not do it, so I guess I'll fucking do it, right? Then there's a third category. This is the category of things that you're like, okay, I'm doing a thing, but I'm not really sure why I'm doing it. And I'm not really sure why, I'm not sure why I'm doing it. And I'm not really sure why anyone's doing it. So I work for a library. And what I did was I got on a bus and drove around and looked at sites of water projects in the sort of general area. Not really where I live or not that our library serves, but around, nearish by. And I kind of tried to figure out in the nicest way possible before I left, like, to ask the people who sort of sent me on this mission, like, is there something particular you want me to derive from this or, like, learn or bring back info or someone you want me to talk to or whatever? And it was kind of like, didn't really hear a lot. Well, I didn't hear anything. I heard a long story about what someone learned on a different tour of the same sort of things, but it didn't really answer my question. So, and you might be thinking, why is someone who works for a library going on a tour of, like, massive water projects? Now, we're talking about, like, I walked through, like, a hydroelectric plant that is attached to, like, a dam, basically. It's not even really a dam. It's a pipeline. I walked, you know, we stood around in a spot where it was like, in this valley is going to be a giant reservoir. And it's like, well, that's cool, I guess. But, okay, let's start with this. I've never been a big believer in the concept of let's go and stand around in the place where the thing is going to happen or is happening. We were just watching the weather. Me and Poonmaster Flex, we're on vacation, and I guess there was a storm somewhere. And something that I think is sort of hilarious is whenever there's a storm, they gotta send the fucking weatherman out to the storm, several states away. Doesn't matter what, if it's New York, they'll send somebody out from New York to Florida to look at it and, you know, report back on it for 3 minutes on the news. And just once, I want them to be like, all right, we're gonna go to Kyle with the weather. He's reporting on the storm in Florida. Kyle, what's it look like out there? And then the camera just pans like 5 feet to the right, and there's Kyle sitting at the desk. And Kyle's like, let's be real for a second. I know you expect me to be in Florida in a coat with the wind battering me and the rain and shit. But I got to thinking about it and was like, why? Do we as humans need to see me doing that? Like, is there any fucking point to that? Is that pointful, as Pete likes to say on the Helpful Snowman podcast? Is this a pointful endeavor for me to go out and stand around in the storm? And it's like, look, I'm Kyle. I'm the weather guy. I'm not afraid of it. I don't think I'm going to die. But it's just sort of like, I wasn't really feeling it. And I started thinking, well, what's going to happen? Are people not going to believe that there's a storm happening because I'm not standing in the thick of it? Because it's like they're not seeing it, so they're like, well, it must not be happening. And the more I thought about that, the more I thought, you know, does that matter? If someone does not believe a storm is happening, what incentive do I have to prove it to them? Because anyone who is in the area, the affected area, is very fucking aware that a storm is happening. They're, like, evacuated, or they're hunkered down, or they're doing whatever they're doing. Clearing the streets so news vans can zoom around, I guess, and go to, like, they're like, where's, like, a marina or a pier or something where it's, like, the waves would look impressive and a beach would be blowing around or whatever. Palm trees blowing over. Where's a place I can be that's, like, looks dangerous, but there's not a lot of shit to, like, go flying around and kill me? Like, I don't know, is there a place without a lot of terracotta and shit that could turn into deadly ninja stars that would slice me in half? That's where I'd like to be, if that's possible. But so anyway, it's like, I decided not to go. Because I just figured, A, well, if people don't believe me, who fucking cares? And B, if they don't believe me, if they're like, well, I don't believe him unless he goes, it probably doesn't affect them anyway. I mean, does a hurricane in Florida really affect me, especially if it's, like, not a huge hurricane or something? I don't think it does. I don't think so. Or like, you know, New York will have a big blizzard, right? And I was like, well, that's a lot of snow, and it's kind of fun to look at. But I mean, this is 2019. Can't we just pull shit off of Instagram and look at that and be like, wow, that's impressive. That's a lot of fucking snow. How fun. How fun for them. They get a 3-day snow day or some shit. Anyway, I just think that would be really fun. And like, I don't know, how these weather guys, like they go out, like Jim Cantore, he's like the Weather Channel guy that I think has a real boner for going out, especially in blizzards and shit. And it's like, he's always picking up the snow and showing it to the camera and stuff. And I'm always like, Jim, I've seen fucking snow before. Okay, I have seen that. I know what snow is. And when you tell me, well, they've gotten 32 inches of snow in the last 18 hours, I'm like, that is a shitload of snow. Good for them, you know, they're really doing it out there. But I don't really need to see you pick it up or, like, fall backwards into it and see how deep it is. I don't need to see some guy throw a cup of hot tea in the air and it turns into ice or some shit, like, immediately. I don't need it. And maybe I'm a different guy. Maybe everyone else is like, no, fuck that. But also, I'm kind of like, can't we just have, like, one guy do that? Someone local? Do we have to fly somebody from, I don't know, Montana out to South Carolina and be like, hey, here's where the weather is? I don't get it. I feel like Jim Cantore has probably stayed in a lot of shitty hotels and just been sort of, like, snowed in. I wonder if he does a lot of drink. He looks like he's in great shape, which makes me think that he was an alcoholic, but now he just works out in, like, every crappy gym at a terrible hotel, right? Like, anywhere in America. Because it's like, well, it's probably kind of fun to be... I bet it's like traveling. Kind of fun for a while, but when you're doing it every weekend for a couple months, it gets pretty old, right? It's like every other week in winter, he's out in some, you know, well, we're out in some shithole now, and yep, more snow. This looks like this. I wonder if he ever films footage, like he's like, all right, we're in Iowa. Let's film footage. Then let's turn around 180 degrees, film some footage going this way. It looks different. And I won't say exactly where I am, just in case we need some B-roll for some other weather disaster. We can just say the sound cut out or whatever. Nobody's going to remember. Like, has there ever been a more disposable form of TV than, like, live weather coverage? That's, like, the original reality TV. Anyway, point being, also, this is a thing, too, I feel like happened. I think this happened with Trump recently, but I think it happened with George Bush, too, with New Orleans, which is, like, people criticizing him for not going to the site of a disaster, which I'm sort of, like, the opposite on this. I mean, I get that people feel like, well, if they go to the site, it shows they care, and I'm like, yeah, I guess so, but I mean, what is Trump going to do? Like, get down in that basket from the helicopter and go rescue a fucking dog off a roof? Like, he's just going to be flying over in a helicopter looking at it. Also, if I was the president, I would be kind of like, well, Dallas definitely looks fucked up, but I got to be honest, this is the first time I've flown over Dallas in a goddamn helicopter. I have no idea what this is supposed to look like normally. I have no context here. It's kind of like if a whole town burned down. We just watched Dante's Peak, which, by the way, underrated 90s action movie, because once you get through the first half, fucking everything explodes. I mean, a helicopter explodes, cars are exploding, everything is exploding. A grandma gets destroyed by acid, it's fucking amazing. Somehow, Dante's Peak, and I think it's because it came out around the same time as Volcano, and Volcano was definitely like the, you've got your Armageddon and Deep Impact, Volcano was the Armageddon, because I think it was happening in like New York or San Francisco, something like that, and it was just preposterous, and more people just getting, you know, destroyed by lava. But Dante's Peak somehow then got under the radar and was like, young Pete did not think of this as like an action movie, and older Pete, who I guess maybe has lost some of his taste for action or something, or maybe it's just been refined, is like everything is exploding in this movie. Everything is insane. This is amazing. I just like, and you know, looking at the effects, and I'm just like, some of the effects, it's obvious how they did it, but some of them you're like, I think someone actually made a miniature here and they blew it up. Or they must have made some actual storefronts and shit, like a main street, and just blew up every fucking building on that main street. Anyway, if I was flying over the city of Dante's Peak after it was, you know, destroyed by the volcano, I'd be like, well, there's definitely not much here. I see that lava burned some shit. But overall, I can't honestly say that I knew what it looked like before. So my opinion on what it looks like now is probably not worth a ton. So I don't know. Also, I guess I'm just like, shouldn't the president be doing shit where he's like, okay, could I go down to wherever? Sure. But what is that? What is the result? The result is, well, they got to fly me in somewhere. And so that fucks up the entire travel of that airfield or whatever. They're going to be using a helicopter to fly me around, which probably should be helping with rescue and reclamation efforts instead of flying me around so I can just look at it. So I'm going to strap a GoPro. I'm going to ask somebody to wear a GoPro who's there so I can just get an idea and whatever and be respectful. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, look, I probably can do more good from my office than I can from the scene of the crime. The crime against humanity as done by nature. I would probably be more help doing like president shit, like calling FEMA guy or whatever and being like, yo, motherfucker, what's going on? Stuff like that. So anyway, I don't like, I'm not big on criticizing for that because I'm just sort of like, I don't know. I mean, these presidents tend to be politicians, right? Or lawyers or whatever. They're not usually, hey, if one of the politicians was some rescue guy or whatever, I'd be like, all right, well, maybe. He's got a kind of an idea. Or if he came up from, he used to be a disaster relief sort of position or something, and I'd be like, well, yeah, maybe he actually could do some good down there. But it seems like a great time to delegate. That seems like a great time to look and say, you know, this is why I surround myself with other people instead of trying to do literally everything myself. So that's kind of what I did. We went to some different spots and saw things. And I saw a hydroelectric plant, by which I mean I walked through and touched a pipe that water was flowing through. They were like, you can touch the blue pipes. So I did. They were cold and felt like water was going through them. And apparently they were generating electricity, which I was like, well, that's nice, I guess. Seems like a positive thing. But, you know, I've done a number of these things. And I gotta say, like, I don't know. There's some hallmarks of these things, okay? Like, one of the hallmarks is, so I'm in a group. There's a whole group of people. And there's always people who, the tour guides are always like, we love questions, ask lots of questions, right? And there's always somebody who asks questions that you're like, what did you think was going to be the answer to that question? You know, so, okay, they were talking about they're building an asphalt core dam. So the three words are asphalt, core, and dam. So dam, I think we all understand what that is. Basically a big fucking wall that keeps water on one side. Asphalt, I think we know what it is. And core. Now, what does core usually mean? Usually means something that's at the center of something, surrounded by something else, right? Is that a pretty good definition, I feel, of core? What's at the very center and embedded within other things? So the guy is explaining, like, these asphalt core dams. He's like, this is a new thing for the United States, but they've been used a lot in South America and in Europe. And they've been used for hundreds of years, and they work and whatever. And so this lady starts asking these questions where she's like, well, is the asphalt, like, what's to keep the chemicals from the asphalt from getting in the water? Is there going to be something around the asphalt to keep the chemicals from getting in the water? And I was just like, Wow. Asphalt core. Damn. But also, I was just like, what do you think his answer is going to be? Do you think that you, as someone who's been learning about this stuff for an hour, are going to come up with a concern? He's going to be like, holy fuck, I never even thought of that. That's, oh my God, why did we use enriched uranium to build this wall? We were like, well, it's strong. It's available. Let's do it. We didn't even think about, oh my God, the water's going to touch the radiation and get all fucked up. That's not going to happen. And it's like, they ask the question in this, like, gotcha style. Like, they're a hardcore journalist or something. And anyway, it makes me crazy. Because they're basically questions. There's another guy on the tour who was running for city council of somewhere. I saw his truck, and it had, like, a window shade over the windshield that was branded for his campaign, and the side of his truck was branded for his campaign. And I was like, I wonder if I'll be able to pick out who this guy is. And it was pretty obvious, because he was dressed like a politician, which in Colorado means you're wearing, like, a blazer and cowboy boots. And then he was asking all these questions that were basically the questions that weren't designed to hear the answer to the question, but to show that he was smart, right? To show, like, I know a lot about this stuff. I'm in the know. Vote for me, right? Which I was like, that's the worst kind of question. Because when you're asking a question to which he obviously knew the answer already, and it's not really even a question, it's kind of like when you... Many times I have talked to groups of young children. And one thing I've learned is that if you tell young children, if you say, do you have any questions? Some kid will raise their hand and they will absolutely say something that is not a question. Like, that is pretty much a guarantee. They don't understand. They don't really understand what a question is. But then some people never evolve beyond the point either, because they understand what a question is, but they don't understand that the purpose of asking a question in a group setting is to ask a question that other people would also like to hear the answer to, right? I mean, essentially what he's doing is, like, raising his hand. It would be like if I raised my hand and said, would you compliment my outfit? And it's like, I guess I could, but that's A, not really a question, and B, I mean, nobody else is enriched by that. That's including, and you're really not enriched. Do you really need that either? No. So why? This is a pointless exercise. So there was that. That's, and it's one of my least favorite things, because it's just like, you're just like prolonging the day and whatever. Now, I will say this. One of the tour guides was a guy who's worked for this company for 38 years. And this is a Wednesday, and his last day was that Friday. So he was T-minus 2.5 days and giving us this tour. Let me tell you, that is who you want giving you a tour of anything. Because that guy will just fucking say what he thinks. Which is what you want, right? I mean, in reality, you're like, yes, that's what I want. I want some guy just being like, here's what's really going on. Because basically, at some point, this is my little Colorado rant, I guess. They got into a little bit of talk because someone was asking questions about Save the Pooter. So Save the Pooter is this kind of environmentally oriented organization that's really not into any water projects happening along the river. But the reality, as explained to me on this tour, is that if Colorado didn't do reservoirs and dams and diversions and stuff like that, we would have water 3 months out of the year. Like, that's the sort of natural water style of Colorado. So when people talk about not altering nature in any way, that horse left the barn basically as soon as we got an indoor shitter, right? Like, as soon as that happened, it's kind of, well, if you want to be able to flush your toilet all year long, we're going to have to find a way. Because there's no rain, and we have snow melt, and that's about it. But also, I guess, I don't really understand all the science behind it, because I'm not a fucking engineer, but I work for a library, by the way. They will be moving the water around and doing that, but at the end of the day, there will be more water in the pooter than there is now. And this guy was going off on this rant and just saying, well, I think the pooter, you know, it dries up basically by the time it gets to downtown Fort Collins. And he's like, when this project is finished, that isn't going to happen anymore. So he's like, for the first time since we've basically built projects on this river, it will flow all year long. Kind of like it's supposed to, I guess. And he said, and he was like, I think these Save the Pooter folks are good people, good-hearted, but I think what they think is that Colorado has grown a lot, and we need more water storage, and we need to figure out ways to manage our water better, because we're twice as big as we were. And he's like, I was born here in whatever year, and I certainly wish they had planted a sign the day I was born that was like, okay, no more new residents, but that didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. And he's like, I think that Save the Pooter people think that by keeping things the way they are, people will stop moving to Colorado. And he's like, but I don't think that's true. And I tend to agree with him, because I gotta say, like, I don't think many people look into the water situation of the place they live. I mean, how many people look into, like, what's the water supply like where I live as far as, like, quantity, and what is the drought season and all that? I mean, nobody really looks into that shit, right? I don't think that's going to stop people from coming here either. And I tend to agree with him. I think they sort of want Colorado to stay how it is and not change the way it's changing, which I also feel, but I agree with him too, which is like, well, not planning for growth is basically going to just make us miserable, because then we'll be fucked. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to me, I guess, because it's like, I don't know, people talk a lot about everyone moving here and gentrification of neighborhoods and stuff like that, but then they don't also talk about this side of things too, which is like, well, okay, what do we have to do as far as sustainability, and like, what's the energy situation like, and blah, blah, blah. I was just like listening to a thing about wind power. Like, everyone's real into wind power. But like, I went to the Vestas factory. That's where they make a ton of the like industrial size, those huge wind farms. They make like a lot of the blades for those. And it's really fascinating. It's like a Dutch company, or run by a Dutch guy, I think. He's Dutch and very practical and whatever. And he's like, well, it's all done by hand. I mean, they like hand sand everything and build everything and stuff, because he's like, well, we're always updating materials for lighter material and like better, basically so we can generate more power. But if you do that with machinery, then if you want to make a change, a small change, you have to change the entire machinery, right? So it's easier to do it with people. But he also was saying, like, well, here's the problem with wind. And he showed us a map of, like, where wind farms are, and he's like, basically, where there's wind, there are wind farms. But where there's not wind, there's not wind farms. And I know people kind of think, like, everywhere has wind, but it has to have consistent enough wind to generate power, which is pretty consistent and fairly high wind. And the reason is twofold. One, okay, if it's not windy all day every day, you got to store that power, right? So it's kind of limited by our battery capacity and our ability to build batteries. But the other thing is, you can't just have a wind farm in northern Wyoming and then get that power to Ohio very easily, because a physicist can tell you, if you transfer power from one place to the other, it loses energy as it moves from one place to the other. So you have to put more energy in to transport that energy. It naturally loses energy. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that. I think it's like, I just get mad because people think they know what's best for everything and everyone. And I'm like, you should investigate this first. Look into it. Because it's not as simple. It's not as simple as like, let's just have fucking wind farms everywhere. So anyway, I went on this tour, and it was something. There was this, also, we drove along this sort of ditch that's used to put water. They called it like a canal or something. And I was like, that's a fucking ditch, my friend. But it's like man-made cement and stuff. And we're looking at it and he's like, the tour guide guy, he's talking on this bus. And he keeps talking about how animals would fall in there and die before. So they've done some small things to try and reduce that, to try and give him a chance. But he was like, but, you know, it's about 10 feet deep and it's pretty narrow. So that means the water will pull you under pretty fast and you don't have much chance if you go in that water. He's like, here we made a slight grade on the sides so that, like, someone might potentially get out. And then at the mouth of, he's like, well, we have these tunnels also where it goes underground, these pipes. And at the mouth of the pipes, they have these chains hanging down. And he's like, basically, if something or someone fell in there, they could grab onto these chains, and that would be kind of their last hope to get out. And I was like, why are you telling me? Like, this just seems nightmarish. And these chains, I gotta say, seem like the bare minimum to do to, like, prevent stuff. You know, couldn't you put, like, a grate in front of this fucking... Because he's like, oh, that pipe is about 2 miles long. So if you went in there, you're not coming out the other side alive. And I was like, why do you keep... Are you feeling Halloween-y? Is that why you're telling us all about these fucking pipes? This is crazy. And I was like, it's just giving me nightmares thinking about falling in. Now, I believe this canal runs on, like, fenced-off, closed land. Like, it's private. People aren't supposed to be there. So it probably doesn't require the same amount of whatever. They built a bridge for animals to go over and stuff. Which, if I could talk to these animals, if I could talk to the animals, I would be like, just fucking stay away from that shit. I know you think you'll probably be fine going across the bridge, and you probably will, but you're risking a horrific death. And you look to be like some kind of deer or an antelope. I don't think you're going to be able to grab onto this chain and get out. I got to be honest. You don't look like a strong swimmer. And basically, it seems like this guy was like, well, it just seemed horrific. So we wanted to give them some chance so that we could sleep at night. That was one of the best parts. The other best part was a fish story, which was like, they built some reservoir and, you know, there were a bunch of rich guys involved in some way. And so they had this huge bet on who would catch the first fish in the reservoir, right? And so what this guy did is he caught a fish in another reservoir, put it in his freezer, brought it out to this place, put it on his hook, threw it out in the water, and then sat there with his hook in the water and then was like, oh my God, I got one. And he pulled it in. And then he's like, I guess in the newspaper from that time and shit, like, it's like, oh, he caught the first fish and won this big bet. And it was later they figured out what the hell happened, that he had totally scammed it. But I love that shit. I just feel like scams were so easy back in the day. Like, it was so easy. If you just basically all you had to do was have the guts to do it, and it was hard for anyone to disprove. Like, nobody looked at this fish and was like, why is this fish dead and frozen? I mean, it would be like if today I pulled a fucking fish stick out of the water and I'm like, oh, I caught a fish stick. That counts, right? Wild fish stick. You never know what's going to happen in the environment. Nature. It's all, you know, Ace Ventura shit out here. Well, anyway, I've regaled you with the tale of this trip, right? The wonderful story of my adventures. And so then we get to go back to the part I was talking about earlier, right? The part of, what does this all mean? What is the point? And sometimes, because I'm weird, when I take a shower, I have problems, like ADD-type problems, I think, and I get bored being in the shower. So what I do in there... This is not a confession about me jerking off, by the way. Just so we're all... So you're not slowly dreading that that's what I'm about to talk about. I left this thing feeling like... If I was asking myself the interview question of... And not like a job interview, just like, I don't know, an interview. It's like I'm being interviewed by someone and they're asking me questions. And so if I was being interviewed and asked the question that was like, when was the moment that you knew it was time to like leave your job? I was, this water thing was that moment for me. This was when I hope to look back at this moment in the not too distant future and say, that's when I knew I had to get out of, you know, what I was doing and do something that actually, that was more meaningful to me and purposeful and pointful, as we discussed earlier. Because, I think I just, I just come off a vacation, right? I'd just been on vacation for like seven days or something, which is the longest I've gone without working in, I don't even know how long, but quite a while. And so going back, and my first day back was doing this thing that ultimately I had to admit to myself was basically a waste of time. And something that separates me from some people that I've worked with is, you know, I'll complain about staff day because I think it's a waste of my time. And other people will say they like staff day because they're like, well, you get paid for a work day and you don't really have to work. But that's not where I am at this point in my life. I want to do things. I don't want to get paid and be like, well, I got paid to basically do nothing, so that's cool. I would rather do things that I think are valuable and get paid for them. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not like, oh, I just want to be broke or whatever. But I'm saying, like, I'm kind of, I think my time is worth a little bit more than what I'm getting for my time at this point. And also, the idea of getting paid to not work hard isn't as appealing to me as getting paid to work hard at something that I think is, has a purpose, or like that I think is interesting or I believe in. And like, I just feel that where I'm at now is kind of like, there's just going to always be a certain percent of that. And I'm hoping to reduce that percentage. Like, I'm hoping in my life to take things and say, you know, I do less things now for other people and to make a living that I really don't have interest in or understand or think have value. I do a lot less of that than I used to. Do I think I'll be able to banish that forever? No. Right? Because you always got to do something that you don't really want to do.
There's always going to be something that you don't want to do
that you've got to do. But that's where I'd like to be. Like, looking back at this time a year from now, 2 years from now, or whatever. I think it's hard to know those times when you're in those times, right? It's hard to know that was the turning point. But it feels like a turning point for me. I just felt so strongly this entire day because, like I was saying earlier, I basically spent the whole day learning about something, but then it kind of switched and I really spent more time trying to figure out what I was doing there. Like, why was I there? And what was the purpose of this? And why is this happening to me? Like, why am I here? What am I doing? It was a real, like, what am I doing with my life moment. Which is weird, because it was not, like, a low. You would think this would come at a moment when I'm working at the library and I'm, like, cleaning up a mess in the bathroom, right? And it was like, I mean, I was reasonably comfortable. I was just sitting on a bus. I was going and looking at stuff. I mean, it was mildly interesting. But I think I'm just tired of things that waste my time and doing things that waste my time, that don't make good use of my skills or my interests or whatever. And I don't know. So I don't know how I make that change. If anyone's made that change, I'd love to hear about it. But I don't know how I make the change to being doing things that are more interesting for me and not being a broke-ass fool at the same time. But it's That's what I'd like to do, for sure. I don't know. I guess I just feel differently about it than other people. Because there was a time when I felt the same way, when I was like, hey, staff day, that's cool. That's a full day's pay, and I'm part-time, and I could use the money. But now I just feel like, I don't know, I'd rather do something that's meaningful to me or that is productive for me. I'd rather sit and, you know, when I'm there, I'm just thinking, I could have done some podcasting today. I could have done some writing today. I mean, I do writing there. That's kind of how I get by. But I just could have done things that I think are more helpful to the world. Like, me sitting in staff day doesn't help the world. Not that, like, me doing a podcast or writing a story or something is, like, a mind-blowing, world-shattering event. But I think that's what I'm saying is, like, as much as I feel like the stuff that I make is not of a high value, I also feel like it's of more value than that. So as little as I value myself and the things I do, I still don't feel like that's being met when I'm, like, driving around looking at standing in a valley that eventually won't be a valley but a reservoir. And I'm, like, looking around and everyone's there. And the other people there are, like, students, engineering students, who you're like, well, that makes complete fucking sense for you to be here. Or they're old people who I assume are there because it's like, well, this is a free thing. You kind of get to tour around and look at some shit.
You get a lunch. Why the fuck not? Like,
what else am I doing today? And then there was me. And I was just like, I don't know. I couldn't figure out why anyone in my position was supposed to be there. But I also was like, is that the more interesting question, or is the more interesting question, why am I there? Why do I exist? It was like a mini existential crisis, because it wasn't like, what's the meaning of life? But it was like, what's the meaning of this 11 hours of my life? This seems like a waste. And I just, like, hope to not be on my deathbed thinking, oh God, this is, remember that time you wasted that entire day of your, not youth, but youth adjacent time. Still, you could have been doing anything, and that's what you were doing. That's what I think about sometimes. So yeah, there you go. That's kind of a downer. I think I made a mistake. I think I should have gone the other way around, huh? Not ended on such like a down note, and instead gone with a higher note.
Because if I started with this stuff and then talked about the other stuff, which I think was more fun to listen to, then I think that would have been more of a winning episode.
So you know what, though? We learned a lesson together. And that's really what counts, right? I mean, not really. Not really. That counts for me, but for you, I don't know. It just kind of sucks. You just had to listen to a thing that you're like, oh, that ended on a downer note. But on the plus, Potoween's right around the corner. That's always a good time. Working on the theme song, it's ridiculous. Every year it gets more and more ridiculous. So that's exciting. Right? Right. And I've got, I don't know. It's always a time of rejuvenation of podcast interest for me. Because it's talking about stuff that I'm interested in, but also it's like, hey, if you can do 30 in 30, 31, 31 in 31, I don't know, that seems like you've still got some momentum going there. Unlike the Amazing Spider Webcast, which I do one episode like every 4 months, and it's 15 minutes long. I'd like to get that going a little more. I put up another episode like a month ago. So I think we're up to number 16. Spidey and Daredevil, the amazing team up. So, you know, if your feed on that has lapsed, be aware. There's another episode out there for you. I have a Patreon, you guys. Patreon.com/HelpfulSnowman. Is that how those work? I think that's how those... Well, you can just fucking find it. I was listening to some older podcasts and they were talking URLs and backslash and whatever, and I was just like, I'm glad those days are over. Like, just put into fucking Google whatever.
Right, I don't need to know
the URL of something. I can just put it into goddamn Google. I can put in Patreon helpful snowman, and it'll probably take me right there. It'll be very obvious it's mine. So if you wanted to donate some dollars to me, you could do that. Thanks. Thanks to those of you who do. I think there's one of you that I'm not related to, but, you know, that's cool. Everything starts somewhere, right? Isn't that some profound shit? But you get a bonus episode. You get a newsletter. It's pretty great. And it's not a big financial commitment. That's the best part. For easy, low monthly payments of da-da-da-da. But yeah, I'm not looking to make tens of thousands of dollars. I'm looking to make enough to basically pay, you know, website hosting. Occasionally, you got to get some new cables and microphones and shit, so that pays for that, too. So I'm very satisfied with that. I think it's just overall, like, it's nice to not pay to do this stuff, even if I'm not really getting paid, per se. It's like a break-even proposition is pretty good. I feel pretty good about that. It kind of says it all, right? Like, I'm just complaining about having my time wasted for pay and breaking even doing something that I care about is much better for me. That's what I'd prefer. All right. Well, there you go. We'll see you next time, everybody. I hope you have a great week or weekend or whatever. Whenever this hits you, I guess. It's kind of funny because you think about, like, I guess I could say weekend if this drops on Fridays. But then I think, well, probably people don't listen to it the minute it comes out, right? Most people probably don't. It was a huge yawn you just experienced. I was trying to make it quiet as possible. And then was thinking, oh, it probably sounded like I just died at the wheel. Definitely at the wheel. So yeah, I can't get those webcasts out, but thinking of starting a new show. I don't know. We're working on it. And by working on it, I mean I'm interviewing myself about it in the shower. And again, that is not a euphemism for beating off in the shower. That's literally how I'm thinking it through. But I think it could be a lot of fun. Could be a new thing. I don't think there's a lot of what we're talking about out there, so I think that makes it interesting. New horizon for me and for anyone who wants to listen. Okay, this is the usual way this ends also. If this is the first time you're listening, it kind of rambles to a stop, and I discover I probably should have cut it off like 2 minutes earlier. But hey, fuck it, right? Like, half the shows have 2 minutes of ads at the end or 2 minutes of, like, thanks, Tars, or, you know, at the beginning, like, 2 minutes of this.
Oh, man. I read an article.
We're going to talk about it on this show. I read an article about the Joe Rogan podcast because, well, it's hilarious, and we'll talk about it more on that show. But, you know, basically, I'm reading it because in our mission to make this podcast like the world's most popular podcast, studying other podcasts, and like that's definitely one of the most popular podcasts, right? Like, regardless of how you feel about it, undeniably popular. So I read this article because this guy, basically the premise of the article, I'll tell you which one it was so you could read it if you wanted to in preparation. If you wanted to do some helpful snowman homework. That's something that would enrich your life. It was an article that had a title something like, I lived like Joe Rogan for a week or a month or something, which I thought was going to be real good. I thought it was interesting because, you know, it seems like he's done, I don't know, I'm not quite enough of a devotee to know exactly what all he's done, but I think he's done like some stem cell shit to himself and some, I guess what some people would call body hacking. I mean, it seems like eat right, exercise, and be willing to take some things that you're like, this isn't like the most approved thing in the world, but also fuck it. So that's what I thought this article was going to be. But it turned out to not really be like that. I mean, I think this guy who wrote the article did a couple things that he's talked about. Like drank a coffee that's made out of mushrooms or something, which is weird and whatever. But I was like, I don't know, man. I don't think that's like the primary thing I was hoping to hear about, to be honest. If you're like, I'm going to live my life like this. I mean, Joe Rogan seems like interesting, but also kind of a maniac in some ways. I mean, weird. But so I was hoping to hear more about that, but there was almost none of that. So it was a big disappointment. And, you know, the whole thing that I find funny about it is whenever I read a couple articles about his show, and it seems like the people who write about his show are like, the articles are always, what's the appeal of this show? And the conclusion seems to be like, I just don't get it. But it's like, I don't get it because I'm too good for it. Like, I'm too something. I'm above this. So I couldn't even understand its appeal. And it's weird because I'm like, you guys have like this office at, I don't know, Atlantic or whatever. And it's like, you don't have one person who's like, oh yeah, I like that show. And you're like, could you ask that guy? Could you have him write the article? Because that would be cool. Oh my God, okay. I was like, there's a car with really fucking obnoxious lights up here, but it was a police car. All right, you know what? That's allowed, I suppose. That seems to be a safety feature. Okay, we'll see you next time.